Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Will the world be plunged into war over cartoons displaying Islam's Mohammed in a negative light? Tensions from publishing the cartoons in various European newspapers are being felt around the world. The Danish consulate building was torched in Beirut, Lebanon this weekend. Norway's embassy was set on fire Saturday in Damascus, Syria. Protests were also held in Indonesia, India, and Thailand. In Iran, about 200 people tried to burn down the Austrian embassy. The protesters chanted, "God is great, and Europe, Europe, shame on you." They smashed all the diplomatic mission's windows with stones and then tried to hurl petrol bombs inside. The bombs exploded, but they really didn't catch the building on fire. Iran has withdrawn its ambassador to Denmark, and all trade with Denmark has been severed because of the cartoons first published in Danish newspapers. There were protests outside the European Union offices in Gaza following demonstrations there last week. In retaliation for the publication in many European countries of character tours of the Prophet Mohammed, Iran's best-selling newspaper has launched a competition to find, quote, the best cartoon about the Holocaust. The daily paper, Hamshari, said the contest was designed to test the boundaries of free speech. The reason given by many European newspapers for publishing the cartoons of the Prophet. The Brussels-based Conference of European Rabbis denounced the idea and urged the Muslim world to do likewise. The Islamic world's reaction to the cartoons reflect the pent-up feelings of resentment, hatred, and anger that the Islamic world feels toward the West. The cartoons provided the release to let off a lot of steam in the Islamic world. These reactions all over the Islamic world portend of things to come. Tension between Iran and the West are reaching the boiling point as the 35-nation International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors passed a resolution that called for the agency's chief, Mohammed El-Bardai, to present a report and assessment of Iran's pursuit of nuclear power to the UN Security Council. In a concession to Iran and its key trading partner, Russia, the agency agreed to put off any UN Security Council action until March the 6th to give time for more diplomatic efforts. Russia has offered Iran the option of having nuclear material produced in Russia, that is, nuclear material that could be used in nuclear energy but not for nuclear weapons. Iran so far has turned down that offer, but they are still, they say, willing to listen. But the greatest concessions stem from Egypt's efforts to link concern with Iran's atomic program to a nuclear weapons-free zone in the Middle East. This has gone largely unreported in the newspapers. This was apparently a rather transparent effort to include Israel in the resolution. The Islamic world has repeatedly accused the West of hypocrisy in demanding that Iraq and Iran and other Middle Eastern countries be denied nuclear weapons, while experts say Israel has the world's sixth largest stockpile of nuclear weapons. The final draft of the compromise wording made no specific reference to Israel. But the resolution stated that, quote, a solution to the Iranian issue would contribute to global non-proliferation efforts and the objective of a Middle East free of weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, since Israel is in the Middle East, this would include Israel. The urgency and seriousness of the world situation continues to escape the discernment of most Americans. However, world leaders know the stakes are high and the time is short. In an article titled, "It's Later Than We Think," Arnaud de Borchgrave, editor-at-large for the Washington Times and for United Press International, describes the sobering situation that the West faces in dealing with Iraq. He highlights the fact that the principal motivation behind many of the actions of the current regime are not based on geopolitics or economics, but rather on religion. Ahmadinejad states that the ultimate promise of all divine religions will be fulfilled with the emergence of a perfect human being, the 12th Iman. Notice it is a perfect human being. One of the pillars of Islam states that God is not begotten, neither does he beget. Thus, you do not have a begotten Son of God. They would deny that Jesus Christ is the begotten Son of God, since they say that God is neither begotten, neither does he beget. But they are looking for, quote, a perfect human being, the 12th Iman, who is heir, they say, to all the prophets. He will lead the world to justice and absolute peace. Almighty Lord, I pray to you to hasten the emergence of your last repository, the Promised One. End of quote by Ahmadinejad. Iran's dominant 12er sect holds this will be Muhammad ibn Hassan, the righteous descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. The Mahdi is said to have gone into occlusion in the 9th century at age 5. His return will be preceded by cosmic chaos, war, bloodshed, and pestilence, according to their apocalyptic view. After this cataclysmic confrontation between the forces of good and evil, the Mahdi will lead the world to an era of universal peace. Ahmadinejad's brand of Shiite faith believes that he can not only influence but hasten the awaited return of the 12th Iman known as the Mahdi. Ahmadinejad is close to the Messianic Hojatiyah society, which is governed by the conviction the 12th Iman's return will be hastened by the creation of chaos on earth. Thus, he seems anxious to be at the center of chaos and confusion, apparently thinking it will pave the way for the return of the Mahdi. Ahmadinejad has fired Iranian officials and diplomats who presumably did not share his belief in his apocalyptic vision of the future. So far, the supreme leader and chief of state, Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, who sits in the holy city of Qom, has not yet spoken out on these issues. However, Ahmadinejad appears to have his religious bases well covered. His ideological mentor and spiritual guide is Ayatollah Mesbah Yazdi, who heads the ultra-conservative acolytes who believe the 12th Iman's return is imminent. Sode Borchgrave writes that Ahmadinejad would probably welcome a war with the U.S. and Israel. Iran is the modern world's first and only Shiite Islamic Republic. Regardless of any elections, the supreme leader remains, as before, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Hosseini Khomeini, the same cleric who succeeded Ayatollah Khomeini nearly 17 years ago on June 4, 1989. And even with elections, the Iranian people have overwhelmingly voted for the most radical supporter of the Ayatollah since the Iranian Revolution, squarely defeating any candidates that have tried or tried in vain to nudge Iran back to some modicum of secular reforms. Most Westerners are probably not aware of the fact that when all is said and done, the president of Iran and his ministers will not make the ultimate decisions that may determine the course of world history in the months that lie ahead. They bow to the dictates of Ayatollah Khomeini, who in turn bows only to his personal interpretation of the Quran. This is the man who will decide almost single-handedly how Iran retaliates against UN sanctions if and when they come, how Iran may or may not escalate the crisis, and how the next phase of this new, even hotter Cold War will be waged. Iran's reaction to the International Atomic Energy Agency's vote to refer the Iranian problem to the UN Security Council was swift and decisive. Iran told the International Atomic Energy Agency to remove surveillance cameras and agency seals from sites and nuclear equipment by the end of the next week. In other words, the inspections are over as far as Iran is concerned at the present time. A diplomat close to the Vienna-based International Atomic Energy Agency told the Associated Press that Iran had also made good on another threat, formally setting a date for resuming full-scale work on its uranium enrichment program, which can make either fuel or the nuclear core of warheads. There seems to be no turning back on the part of Western leaders as well. Western leaders seem to be unified in their determination to prevent Iran from going nuclear. The response of world leaders has been direct in the past few days and to some degree surprising. U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld says the Iranian regime is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice states the world will not stand by if Iran continues on the path to nuclear weapons capability. German Chancellor Angela Merkel states, quote, looking back to German history in the early 1930s, when National Socialism was on the rise, that is, the Nazi Party, there were many outside Germany who said, it's only rhetoric, don't get excited. There were times when people could have reacted differently. And in my view, she says, Germany is obliged to do something at the early stages. We want to. We must prevent Iran from developing its nuclear program. End of quote by German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Western leaders are backed into a corner now. They have spoken. They cannot afford to turn back. If they should turn back and weaken their stance at the present time, they would lose face in the Islamic world, and for that matter, in the face of the rest of the peoples of the world, and they would lose credibility that could not easily be regained for several years. Iran has historically supported Hamas, the organization that now holds the majority of seats in the Palestinian Authority Parliament. World leaders can ill afford to let one of the world's chief supporters of terrorist organizations, including Hamas, Hezbollah, and Islamic Jihad, develop nuclear warheads. Iran has already tested Shahab 3 missiles that can easily reach Israel. If the nose cones of these missiles are fitted with nuclear warheads, indeed it will be much later than we think. Israel and the U.S. will be in grave danger. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question of what is going to happen in the Iranian crisis. What about the cartoons, and what about the potential of Iran having nuclear power? It is astounding, amazing, paradoxical, ironic, and any adjective that you want to name that as we see the events unfold in the world today, how peoples in the Western world are reacting, especially the peoples of the United States of America. We go about our merry way as if nothing were happening. We have 90-plus million people watching the Super Bowl. We have people talking about the gay cowboy movie, Brokeback Mountain, and yet more and more the religious zeal and fervor of the country, the spiritual quotient of the country, continues to decline. People are really not interested in the spiritual things, and these are the only things that can save us at the present time. The only way that the crisis that the world faces into today can be solved is through the power of God and His Spirit. That Spirit that is easy to be entreated, that Spirit that leads to peace and happiness. You can really begin to prepare for what lies ahead, first of all, by opening the pages of your Bible, and then we can help you by sending you free literature. We'll send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will help you cope with everyday problems that you're facing in your life today, as well as keep you apprised of what is going on in the world and what you can expect next. Also, we will send you a free article titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? You really need to know, are we living in the last days? What does the Bible say and what lies ahead? To receive the free literature, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, that the Islamic world is up in arms concerning the publishing of caricatures of Mohammed in European newspapers that place him in a negative light. And they are holding demonstrations all across the Middle East, extending all the way as far as Indonesia and back into the Middle East. The world will be on edge until March the 6th, and who knows what might happen before March the 6th. On March the 6th, the Atomic Energy Agency is going to refer the Iranian nuclear problem to the Security Council of the United Nations. Couple all of this with a continued war against the insurgents in Iraq and the ongoing struggle between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and it should be easy to read the handwriting on the wall. The fact is, the world is headed for one of the most terrible and troublesome times in human history. And the irony of all this is the fact that Americans still have their heads buried in the sand. As we have already noted, they're more interested in the Super Bowl, the latest escapades of various Hollywood duos, than they are in the future of humankind, it seems. And it is absolutely amazing how the facade of all things continue, as from the beginning, dominates the American landscape. This is the time of the lull before the storm. The storm warnings have been issued. There is a, by analogy, Category 5 hurricane that is hovering off the coast of America, and it is likely to strike at any time. And you say, well, we have the defense forces that can protect us. And let's say that perhaps you're not directly hit by any kind of enemy fire, or that America is protected, but the other nations of the world are in great turmoil and stress. Can it be that we would forever not have any kind of difficulties here? What would happen if the petroleum supply were cut off? What would happen if the dollar were to collapse? What would happen if our economy should go into deep depression? What would happen if forces cause a disruption of the transportation system or a failure of the power grid? And we could go on and on with a what if. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you turned to God? The only way that you can truly be saved and have peace of mind is through the power of God. You cannot really save yourself when all is said and done physically, or you can make some common sense preparations, but the real kind of peace that a person needs is spiritual peace, that peace from within, knowing that when all is said and done, that they have served Almighty God, and that in the end, He is going to take care of them, and they will live in resurrection. Political and religious leaders are crying out and saying, this is serious business, folks. But the warning message goes unheeded. In fact, the warning messages become the joke material for the late night talk show host. Well, did the Apostle Peter prophesy in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He is saying, remember what the prophets wrote. Remember what Jesus Christ inspired, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and for the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Are you one of those? Do you believe that all things continue as from the beginning? Do you believe that this is just another cycle? Do you believe that this situation is going to just go away? The reason that this situation is not going to just go away is because there are spiritual elements that are involved in this. Satan, the devil, when all is said and done, is really behind it, and he is stirring up the spirits and hearts and minds of people to do what they're doing. It is not going to go away as other things have gone away in times past. Can you read the handwriting on the wall? Are you discerning the times? And will you heed the warning? God is merciful, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But His Spirit will not always strive with sinful humanity. A day of reckoning is coming. God is not just the God of the Jews. He is not just the God of the Americans. or the British, or the Swedes, the Danes, the Finns, the Chinese, the Indians, the Russians, or any other national or ethnic group that you can name. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, the death penalty is on their head. The only way that the death penalty can be removed from your head is through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He went in our stead so that we do not have to die. Salvation is not exclusive. Salvation is inclusive, but the way to salvation is exclusive. That is, there is only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and it is through that man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Yes, God lets things go on at times for hundreds of years before he intervenes, yea, at times even thousands of years. It's been almost 2,000 years now since Jesus Christ ascended back to the Father. But we have the sure promise that he is coming again. But in that interim period of the 2,000 years, people begin to think that God does not care and that Jesus Christ is really a myth. And what is all of this apocalyptic talk about anyhow in the end of the world? Well, this world is not going to end, but this present evil age is going to end. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now is the time to open the pages of your Bible and seek God with all your heart, so that you will be ready when the bridegroom knocks on your door. Remember the Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24 and 25. In Matthew 24, the first three verses, the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the sign of his coming in the end of this present evil age? Jesus gives several signs in Matthew 24, some of which we have described in today's program, especially war and rumors of war. Some people are not aware that Matthew 25 is a continuation of the Olivet Prophecy. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives three parables describing what we must do before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth so that we will be counted ready and worthy to escape all these things that are coming on the face of the earth to try the sons of men. We must have our lamps filled with oil. Symbolically, that means that our mind and our heart must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must be using our talents, and we must be loving our neighbors as ourselves. We demonstrate our love to God by our service to others. Jesus states in Matthew 25, verse 44, "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." You see, we show God that we love him by loving other people. No man can really say that he loves God and at the same time hates his neighbor. If the world could understand just that one principle, what a different world it would be. But people think that they do God service by killing their brothers and sisters, of humankind. What a tragedy. What a delusion. What deception Satan has wrought upon the sons of men. Jesus goes on to say, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Yes, they will be punished forever, in that they will be put to death in Gehenna fire. And that is the everlasting part of the punishment. They are burned up in Gehenna fire. Their ashes will be under the soles of the feet of the righteous. But they won't be living forever in hell fire, as some teach. They will be burned up, from which there is no resurrection. It is the second death. Read of it in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. But the righteous will go into life eternal. Peoples in the Islamic nations are demonstrating several days after the caricatures of Muhammad appeared in European newspapers. They are filled with a religious fervor that is frightful. What about us? Are we going to allow God to fill our hearts and minds with the Spirit of God, an entirely different kind of spirit and teaching that says, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you and despitefully use you? Yes, bless and curse not. God is in the business of saving people, not killing people. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall do no murder. Another one says that you shall not covet. Jesus Christ summarized the commandments by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to say, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. See, the Spirit of God can produce the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, Paul writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what the world needs now. The world needs people filled with God's Spirit who produce the fruit of God's Spirit. If that were the case, the world would be a totally different situation. There would be no people rioting, no people demonstrating one against another. We would not be discussing whether or not this or that nation is going to be able to produce atomic weapons, because nations would be beating their swords into plowshares, and they would be learning the way of peace. They would be going up to Jerusalem, which will become the headquarters, the spiritual headquarters of the world in the world tomorrow. Read it clearly for yourself in Isaiah chapter 2, the first four verses, that the law shall go forth out of Zion and his word from Jerusalem. And people are going to be taught the way of peace, and they're going to learn the way of peace. And nation are not going to lift up hand against nation, and they're not going to learn war anymore. What a wonderful time that will be when nations lay down their armaments and they join hands and they build a wonderful world tomorrow. A time in which the lamb is going to lie down with the lion and the child will put his hand on the hole of the asp. There will be no one who hurts or destroys in God's holy mountain. What a wonderful time that will be. You can be a part of that world. You can be there with God and Christ and the saints, helping all the nations come into a relationship with God and Christ. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You've been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, a subscription to the Good News Magazine and the article titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? All you have to do to receive the free literature is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy. 5614. Once again, that number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station for World News and Prophecy next week. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now is the time to put your trust in God and seek refuge under the shadow of his wings. And be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, subscription to the Good News Magazine, and the article, Are We Living in the Last Days?, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.